Hello, everyone. Happy Tuesday. Thanks for tuning in. Hockey Central, Anthony Stewart, Brian Burke, and David Amber, and a busy hour coming your way. In a matter of moments, we'll welcome in Kenny Albert, the esteemed radio voice of the New York Rangers, as we continue our look-in, our preview of the 8 qualifying round series. Today, we take a closer look at the Rangers and the Carolina Hurricanes. And in the second half hour, it's Trip Tracy, radio color analyst for the Hurricanes, and host of Digging In with Trip, a new podcast as well. We'll welcome in Trip Tracy in the second half hour. But gentlemen, we got to start the show with some big news that shook down yesterday. Hasn't been ratified, hasn't done, isn't signed, sealed, and delivered, but all signs point to a CBA being officially done in the next few days. And that's really good news because I don't want to talk about it. You guys don't want to talk about it. Fans certainly don't want to hear about it. So if it could be done and we have labor rest over the next 6 years between the NHLPA and the NHL, that's a great, great thing for the future of this game. Here are a few of the specs, guys, and then I want your thoughts. First and foremost, some cost certainty for the owners that the $81.5 million salary cap is maintained, which is something we discussed for months about what would happen. So that's good news for the players. A cap on escrow, a great news for the players. They capping it at 20%. The Olympics in both 2022 and 2026, so that'd be in Beijing and in Cortina, Milan, in 2026 in Italy. So that would, you know, has to be ratified by the IOC, but that would be great news as well for NHL fans and hockey fans. More good news for the players and the owners, I suppose. Deferred salary for the players, so that's good news for the owners, and because of that, a lower escrow total, so that's good news for the players. So a lot of good things for both sides in this potential CBA agreement. Berkey, let's start with you, because you've been bringing this up for months now. Your chief concern was what was going to happen during this financial crisis with a multi-billion dollar company like the National Hockey League. What are your thoughts initially when you hear all the specs to this pending CBA?
Well, I think it's a lot of good news for the players, like you said, David. I don't, the math doesn't work for me. When I talk to teams about the massive revenue losses they expect coming forward, going forward, it doesn't make sense, a flat cap for 2 years. And even with the 10% deferral, and even if the escrow is going to be 20%, I can assure you. So that's a 30% pay cut for the players, 10% of it deferred. But it still doesn't add up to the revenue loss. So the U.S., I think the league is betting on that in two years, the new U.S. television contract will make whole some of these losses, and also that there will be a vaccine. They're clearly betting on the crowds coming back at some point late, like next year or the following season. But the math doesn't add up to me. I hope it works. This is great to have labor peace, especially when you're going into a television negotiation. To have two more years on the deal, or a couple more years on the deal, is great news. So I think it's the first CBA that's been done without a work stoppage under Gary Bettman's tenure. I think that's great news. I think the worst thing that could have possibly happened is to have any kind of labor dispute in these trying times. So good news.
Stewie.
Yeah, on behalf of the players, I think I could say they're very, very happy. You know, we got on July 1st how many hundreds of millions of dollars of signing bonuses, paid out. And, I think it's good on the owners now for absorbing a lot of these upfront costs because, again, a lot of the players now, they can't really look 2, 3, 4 years down in the future. They're worried about now. And I think they're happy now that they got their money for this season now. They're getting their signing bonuses, and they're not doing a 50% rollback. I remember we were talking about it yesterday that, you know, when I first came into the league, there was a 25% rollback and guys were actually losing their minds because it was a lot of money at that time. So it's good now. It's good that they're doing the due diligence, crossing all their T's, dotting all their I's on the business side of things. But it's great that they sort of put that on the back burner, and the major concern was getting back to play and playing safely, and we're on the right path to that.
Yeah, absolutely. We could see games resume if everything goes according to plan on August 1st with the qualifying round. And Brian, you know, I hear what you're saying about it doesn't make sense for the owners, but I think on a big macro level, does it not make sense for the owners? We're in a financial crisis. If they let this, go on, this whole situation without a new CBA, they run the risk a year from now, very different financial terms, and also maybe not having any leverage if the players, were to buckle down in knowing where the situation could go. It might have been the most prudent thing to do from both sides to say, let's just get this locked down. And you have star players like the McDavids and the Matthews and the high-paid players. They fit into the confines of this $81.5 million salary cap with the assumption and hope that this does become a $5 billion revenue stream as we've seen in the past.
Yeah, if it all works, great. I mean, if they can replace these revenues, great. I've spoken to teams that are doing their modeling for the coming season. So 10 games without fans, 20 games without fans, 30 games without fans. Mm-hmm. 20 without fans, and then 10 socially distanced, maybe 5,000 people in the building. And they're talking about losses in the $30, $40, $50 million range from revenue from a year ago. So this does not make sense, a flat cap for 2 years. I was expecting a rollback, but like Stewie said, if the owners can, and they don't make mistakes very often, these people, they're rich people for a reason. If they can recoup the losses that they're going to sustain in the new TV deal, that's great. I'm all for it. I think it's very important that we play if we can. And so it's good news. We'll see how this unfolds down the road.
Yeah, listen, it's promising news. And maybe the other factor that the owners put into the equation is the value of the franchise is exponentially going up year after year.
Let me interrupt you there. They're not going up at all right now.
They're going up. I want to see the numbers. They're going up.
Franchise values are not going up right now. Trust me.
Seattle joined the league, right?
Well, Seattle expansion money. That's not HRR, but that's a good boost for the owners.
It's also incumbent on the idea that the value of the franchise will go up with a new U.S. TV deal, potentially will help the revenue stream. So there are some ifs for sure. But there's definitely some reason for,
I'm from Missouri on anything like this.
Right?
Show me. And I hope.
All right. Fair enough.
The players are playing with the owner's money, which is great. That's great for the players. We'll see where this all shakes out. I find players have very short memories. So if they do the 2 years flat and then have to have a rollback, we'll see what the players think about that then. But I just, the numbers don't make sense to me, and I am hopeful. I will pray every night when I go to bed that I'm dead wrong on this, that this is a prudent move and works out great for everybody.
That was almost like Cheesecake Factory during the pandemic when they shut down, saying, we don't have enough money to pay our rent. What? You're a Cheesecake Factory. Of course you do.
It always goes back to the Cheesecake Factory. I love that.
Gotta love those Buffalo blasts.
We've been previewing. We started yesterday previewing the upcoming qualifying round series, and we're going to take a closer look now at the Rangers in Carolina. Carolina 6th in the East at 81 points. The Rangers 11th in the East at 79 points. And to dip into the Rangers side of things, one of the most accomplished play-by-play voices in all of sport, best known to hockey fans as the radio voice of the Rangers over on MSG, but also often heard on NBC. We're welcoming in Kenny Albert to Hockey Central with Brian Burke, Anthony Stewart, and David Amber. How are you, Kenny?
I'm great, guys. How are you? And I just want you to know that I did take out once during the pandemic from the local Cheesecake Factory, so hopefully I helped with their rent a couple of months ago.
Well done, Kenny. Listen, thanks for joining us here, and it's been such a long pause, but now it's starting to feel pretty real. If things go according to plan, in 3 weeks' time, we're going to have games, including Carolina against the Rangers. The Rangers were 4-0 versus the Canes this year. How do you explain the success that the Rangers had this year in those wins?
Well, first of all, hopefully there are games in about 3 weeks. That would be great for all of us and hockey fans across North America, so we're certainly keeping our fingers crossed. As far as the Rangers' success against Carolina, it was not only this year. It goes back about 10 or 12 years, really during the entire Henrik Lundqvist era with the Rangers. I think his record is right around 33-12. Against the Hurricanes, including 10-1 in his last 11. So, you know, as you guys know, there are certain teams that seem to dominate other teams for no rhyme or reason, and this has been one of those matchups. Like you mentioned, 4-0 this year, the Rangers outscored the Hurricanes 17-9, but it does go back a lot longer. Like I mentioned, Lundqvist has had great success against Carolina, 10-1, in fact, over his last 11 starts against the Hurricanes.
Yeah, in fact, he had 240-plus save performances this year, 3-0 versus Carolina, so which begs the question, who would be starting in net in Game 1? And before we throw it over to Berkey, who do you think? If you were calling the shots here, or if you're Quinn, who's going to be starting Game 1 for the Rangers?
Well, that's a great question, and Igor Shesterkin obviously was outstanding, recalled in early January by the Rangers, and the Rangers went 10-2 in his 12 starts. He had a great goals against average save percentage. Alexander Georgiev has been a terrific backup over the last couple of years, and then you have Lundqvist, who's been the franchise goaltender, who did take a back seat over the last couple of months to Shesterkin. So I know when John Davidson was interviewed about 2 months ago, and they did look ahead to the potential postseason series with Carolina. You know, JD pointed out there's so much unknown. The players did not skate for the most part for 2.5 to 3 months. They will not have played a game in over 4 months once they finally do drop the puck. And who knows what happens with injuries. You know, you hope, knock on wood, that that's not a factor. But once they get back and do have these abbreviated training camps, a lot could change. So on one hand, it's a good problem to have. It's a decision that David Quinn and the coaching staff and goaltending coach Benoit Allaire will have to make. But, you know, certainly when you look at the short term, Shesterkin was unbelievable during his 2 months with the Rangers. You have Lundqvist, who's had a brilliant career, and then Georgiev, who's been solid as well.
On with Kenny Albert, radio voice of the Rangers over on MSG. Go ahead, Berkey.
Hey, Kenny, it's Berkey. Thanks for doing this.
Oh, sure. No problem.
Staying with the goaltending issue, I'm not a sentimentalist when it comes to playoffs. I'm going to address and start the goaltenders I think give me the best chance. And to me, there is no controversy. I think it's only a controversy because Lundqvist has been such a great Ranger. Staying with that, isn't Shesterkin the likely choice to start?
A lot of people do seem to feel that way, especially based on what we saw in January, February, and then early March. And again, who knows how all of the goaltenders are going to react and come back after the 4 month period. You know, it's really similar to a normal off season, right? With teams that don't go all the way, that don't play into June, they have May, June, July, August off, come back into training camp in September. So I think there are a lot of unknown factors. But if you were basing it on the play of all of the goaltenders during the latter portion of the regular season, Shesterkin would certainly look to be the favorite. The Rangers were 11 points out at the All-Star break, and Shesterkin was recalled about 2 weeks before that. I think January 7th was when he made his debut against Colorado. And 11-point deficit at that time to the 8th seed in the East, and they went on such a run. And by the time the season went on pause, they were only 2 points out. So he was certainly the major factor, you know, along with the play of Panarin and Zibanejad and some of the young defensemen as well.
Stewie.
Yeah, so the Rangers, you know, they are obviously ranked seeded 11th in this playoff format here, but they're really only 2 points behind Carolina, who's in sixth. So do you really see them as an underdog going into the series?
Yeah, it's a good question because, you know, when you look at the 4-0 during the regular season, some people would say, how are they the underdogs when they swept the season series from Carolina? And they did have that great run. You know, I think when the extra eight teams were added to this mix for the play-in round, you know, the Rangers were a perfect illustration of a team that was so close. There were a number of teams 2, 3, 4 points out that perhaps may have made it into the top eight over the last 10 or 11 games of the regular season, which wound up not getting played. So I think it's pretty even. You know, you have a Carolina team that did have the playoff experience last year. Many of these same players were on that club that had a terrific run to the Eastern Conference Final and upset Washington in the first round and then beat a hot Islander club at the time in the second round. So on one hand, you do have the team with a lot of playoff experience from last season, but then you have a young, exciting, well-coached Rangers team with a couple of guys who are having superstar-type years. And Panarin, who had 95 points at the pause and led the entire league in even strength and 5-on-5 points. So he wasn't only doing it on the power play. Zibanejad was probably the best player in the league over the last month. He had the 5-goal game against Washington about a week before the pause, 41 goals in 57 games. Chris Kreider was having a real good season, suffered a broken foot in Philadelphia, missed 3 or 4 games, but from all accounts, after 4 months now, he's been skating well. And like I mentioned, the young core of defensemen that really, really showed a lot during this season.
We're with Kenny Albert, radio voice of the Rangers over at MSG. Kenny, you cover all sports. You're one of the few guys who actually does play-by-play in all the four major sports and does a great job in all of them. So I think you can speak to this question. In the New York sports landscape, where does Artemi Panarin fit in?
Well, I think to the hockey fans, David, he certainly ingratiated himself pretty quickly into the New York sports landscape. And actually, there was an article, I think, in The Athletic about a month ago, ranking the top New York free agent signings in all of the sports, basically in history, since free agency came into play in the various sports. And Panarin was certainly up there. I think Reggie Jackson may have been number one overall on the list, but not many guys have come in right away. And you know, JD had been with him for a couple of years in Columbus and obviously watched Panarin on a day-to-day basis. But for those who would only see him, you know, two or three or four times a year, it was remarkable to watch Panarin on a daily basis. And the way he quickly fit in with his teammates and is such a magician on the ice. The Rangers, actually, I remember the Rangers were the opponent when he made his NHL debut for Chicago back in 2015, in October of that year, and actually scored his first NHL goal against Lundqvist in that game. So we got to see it right from the start. We had all heard reports about him from his days in the KHL, but he was, I think, even better than advertised, better than people even expected here in New York this season.
Berkey.
Kenny, what is our management expecting with regard to Brendan Lemieux? Are they expecting him to be suspended for at least one game in the first play-in round?
Yeah, I think so. When that play occurred in Colorado, March 11th, that was the last game prior to the pause, and the league announced that he would be suspended upon the resumption of play, and the length of the suspension has not been announced, but I'm pretty sure that everybody around the team expects there to be some kind of suspension, since that's what the league announced back in March.
Stewie.
Is Adam Fox the real deal?
He certainly seems to be. You know, when the Rangers made the trade, and of course he was Carolina property, Calgary prior to that, but they acquired him from Carolina. He was a local kid, grew up on Long Island, and then played his collegiate hockey at Harvard. And, you know, even hearing Adam speak during interviews, you know, I'm not sure, you know, whether he even expected to have such a big role right from the start this year. You know, there were some on the outside, not within the organization, but media and fans who maybe didn't even expect him to make the team at the start of the season and begin in the American Hockey League, but made the team right from the start. And he's been paired with Ryan Lindgren for the most part since Lindgren was recalled, and they had some history together with the U.S. National Development Program, and they really turned into the Rangers' top pairing. They were out there for the most part, I would say, over the last 30 games against the top line of the opposition. So, you know, I know with Cale Makar and Quinn Hughes, you know, those seem to be the top two front runners for the Calder Trophy, but Fox's name certainly deserves to be in the mix, at least in the top three, in my opinion. You know, whether it was his offensive play, his skating, his passing, his ability to move the puck quickly out of the zone, you know, he certainly opened some eyes right from the start. And I mentioned Lindgren. Tony DeAngelo is having a really good year offensively with over 50 points. Jacob Trouba settling in, although his partner Brady Shea was traded to Carolina right before the pause. So it's, for the most part, a young group of defensemen who really were coming along. And David Quinn and the coaching staff, they talk about the change that they seem to witness. The Rangers played in Western Canada in late December, early January, and there was a game in Calgary right after the new year. They were behind, I think, 3 or 4 nothing, and wound up coming back. That was in Edmonton, coming back and making it a one-goal game, then played in Calgary. From that point on, and a lot of it had to do with the recall of Shesterkin the next week, but the team really seemed to turn things around defensively, and Fox and Lindgren were a huge part of that.
We're with Kenny Albert, radio voice of the Rangers over at MSG, as well as you'll catch him often on NBC's NHL coverage. Kenny, you talked about David Quinn, and obviously Jeff Gorton's done a great job, and there was a lot of excitement surrounding the Rangers moving up in the draft lottery last year to the second pick and getting Kaapo Kakko. What can you say about the maturation of his play, and what can we expect from him come playoff time?
Well, it's interesting that you asked me that, David. I just read an article about 20 minutes ago in one of the local newspapers, and David Quinn was quoted. He was asked about Kako, and he said that in his conversations with him during the pandemic, he really seems to have matured and opened up a bit. And just, you know, in those conversations, he feels like it will be almost a new beginning, like a second season for Kako. You know, you often hear about players who come over from other countries and English isn't the first language, and they have to get used to living and playing in a new city. And I'm sure that was all a part of it. And, you know, I'm sure Kako would even say that it was an up and down first season for him. But in reading these quotes from David Quinn, he seemed really excited about what he's witnessed during some of these chats. I don't know if they were over the phone or video chats over Zoom, but he said he's really excited and enthusiastic about what he expects from Kako once they do resume. And like I said, he mentioned that it's almost like it's a second season, a fresh start for Kako once they do start back up.
That'd be interesting to see for sure. Berkey.
You mentioned Tony DeAngelo. He's having, as you mentioned, a great year statistically. That kind of came out of nowhere in my mind. Like, I know he's a good player, and I know he can fight, but the offensive production never surfaced like it has this year.
You know, it seems, Berkey, like his confidence is sky high. The last season or two, he was up and down between the NHL, the minor leagues. The prior season, 18-19, he started in the minors in Hartford and then was called up and didn't necessarily play in every game. But this year, he seemed to take off right from the start. 15 goals, 53 points. He had a five-point game early in the season against New Jersey. But to me, the confidence is the one thing. He just seems to have a lot of it on the ice, and was playing with some different partners throughout the year. Saw a lot of power play time as well. And not sure if you guys heard, he's also become a terrific podcast host during the pandemic. He started up a podcast with his brother and another friend of his who I think played college hockey up in the Boston area, and they've done a real nice job. In fact, they had both Adam Fox and Ryan Strome on one of their recent podcasts. So I think, you know, once Tony's done with hockey, he could have a second career in this business.
Stewie.
How soon do we see Keandre Miller, and how excited is the organization to have him be on that left side defense pairing for the future?
Yeah, I think real excited. He was one of their first round picks a couple of years ago, you know, as you guys know. And, you know, we'll see what the roster looks like. I guess the teams are going to be allowed 30 or 31 players, and we'll see if he's a part of that. Because he did sign his contract a couple of months back. So I know I'm looking forward to seeing him, watched him play in the rookie camp last summer, which is hard to believe was already a year ago, and we haven't yet started up this season's playoffs. But I know they're real excited about Miller, about some of the other young draft picks, Vitali Kravtsov, who was also a first-round pick, who started the year in Hartford, went back to Russia to the KHL, and then came back, finished up the season in the American Hockey League. They drafted a young defenseman named Nils Lundqvist, who it sounds like is staying over in Sweden next year. But when the Rangers sent out the letter to their fans in February of 18 talking about their plans for the near future, they never called it a rebuild. They referred to it as a build, and they were able to acquire so many assets, draft picks and young players. And Ryan Lindgren was one of those players that came over from Boston, and some of those draft picks that we talked about that they use for players like Miller and Kravtsov and the young defenseman Lundqvist. But, you know, the process certainly accelerated, you know, in my opinion, due to the free agent signing of Panarin, the acquisition of Trouba, the acquisition of Adam Fox, the outstanding play of Shesterkin once he came up. So the fans have certainly had a lot to be excited about as they watch this team developed over the 2019-20 season and hopefully into the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up that letter from Jeff Gorton out to the season ticket holders back in 2018. And yes, he didn't say rebuild, but he essentially alluded to, please be patient with us. And their patience has paid off. And as you've mentioned, it's been incredibly ahead of schedule by all accounts. So let me leave you with this last question. Should the sophisticated Rangers fans be cheering to win this play-in qualifying round series, or should they be cheering for a 12.5% chance to potentially land another great piece, which would maybe make the Rangers, you know, serious contenders in the next few years with that number one
pick? I think they'll be cheering for a win and for the team to go as far as possible. Now, remember, they also have Carolina's first-round pick from the Adam Fox deal. Now, I know that's somewhat protected, depending on where it falls, so they're almost in a no-lose situation. You know, if things don't go their way in the play-in round, they do have that 12.5% chance. But if they win, and I know they'd love, the organization would love to get their players, you know, as much playoff experience as possible, even this year. But they would still have a couple of picks in the first round and perhaps a pretty high one as well from Carolina.
Well, things are looking very bright for the future of the New York Rangers, and we can't wait to see them hit the ice in what's going to be a very competitive series. And really, it is a pick'em. I know it's a 6 versus an 11, but if you take a closer look, and we have 2 points separating these teams, Rangers swept the season series. They've had historically great numbers against Carolina. If anything, possibly, they do go in as the marginal favorite in this series against the Hurricanes. So, Kenny, thanks so much for doing this. Always love when we run into each other at the arena. It's always a class act and one of the great, brilliant voices we hear covering hockey throughout the league. Thanks so much for your time here on Hockey Central.
Well, guys, really appreciate it. Stay healthy and safe. And Berkey, still love to think back to some of those media hockey games we used to play in here in New York back in the late 90s.
Yeah, I like that. It was fun.
Yep, always a lot of fun. Hope to see you guys soon.
All right. Thanks again, Kenny. Berkey, shed a little light on real quickly. Tell us about those media hockey games you participated in.
I tried to get a few of them, but it was pretty peaceful affair, but I had a different view of the media back in the day. But when you didn't play in the NHL, and I never did, to be able to skate, because we played at Madison Square Garden, and be able to skate on NHL buildings is pretty cool. We used to skate at Chelsea Piers, and then there's an outdoor rink up on the Upper West Side we used to skate at too. So, yeah, it was fun.
Oh, that sounds great. We used to get those media games going during All-Star Weekend too back in the day. I'm not sure they still have that tradition alive, though. During the Stanley Cup Final, I believe it would be. Anyways, guys, there's been a great promotion that we're doing this week. I believe next week as well. We're giving away a box of 2019-20 Upper Deck ingrained hockey cards every weekday. All you have to do is tell us who's on the card by texting your guest to 590-590. Standard message rates will apply. And we want to say congratulations to our first winner, and that's Scott Mador from Mississauga, who guessed correctly and won a box of Upper Deck ingrained hockey cards. Yesterday's answer was Brent Burns. Now, if you collect cards and you want to win today, get ready to text us at 590 in the next hour. And if you can name this player, you'll be taking home a box of those brilliant 2019 Upper Deck cards. Here are your clues for today. This player has won the Conn Smythe, Selke, and Lady Byng Trophy in his career. He's been traded twice since coming into the league in 2009. And he has reached the 20-goal plateau 5 times. Okay, I think you can figure that one out. So, again, 590, 590. We'll check in and name our winner tomorrow for that deck, Upper Deck ingrained hockey cards set. Up next here on Hockey Central, Trip Tracy will join us, radio color analyst for the Carolina Hurricanes, as we continue previewing the Rangers and the Carolina Hurricanes. Back to Hockey Central. Great to have you along as we continue our qualifying round previews. We're previewing the Rangers and the Hurricanes. We just had Kenny Albert, radio voice of MSG, on the show alongside Brian Burke and Anthony Stewart, and I'm David Amber. And now we're going to welcome in Trip Tracy, radio color analyst for the Carolina Hurricanes and host of Digging In with Trip, a new podcast. And also, and we got to get this in, Berkey's going to like this, a Harvard graduate in Trip Tracy. How are you, Trip?
David, I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled to be on with you and Berkey, who, for 20 years, I can't believe it. What a tremendous guy and mentor he's been to me, but I was intimidated by him. And Ace Stu, who spent some time in Carolina, and we had instant chemistry.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Hey, Berkey, aren't you going to say something? You got a fellow Ivy League guy on.
Hang on. Speak slower for
us.
When you ask me where I went to school, I say Providence College. Trip is a Harvard guy. H-A-R, H-A-R, VAR, 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 D. You know, we played Harvard in the playoffs when I was a freshman, and their fans chanted, harass them, make them relinquish the puck. It was ridiculous.
I did make a recruiting trip, Berkey, to Providence. Remember Coach McShane, and I stayed with a Michigan native, Mike Boback. I remember.
That is hilarious. And yeah, a pretty good goaltender with Harvard, and now a great broadcaster with the Carolina Hurricanes. Trip, thanks for joining us. We'll get into your podcast in a minute, but we got to start with this pending series that, if all things go well and properly, according to plan, we're going to see start in about 3 weeks' time. What is it about this Hurricanes-Rangers matchup that excites you?
Well, the Rangers were, I thought, as entertaining of a team to watch this season. You know, being the manager, Stanley Cup winning manager that Berkey has been, I think he would certainly say that they're ahead of schedule in terms of their rebuild. The Hurricanes played four really good games. Three good games against the Rangers. Lundqvist, who has numbers against Carolina in his career, both at MSG and in Raleigh through the stratosphere, was dazzling in a couple of games. Shesterkin played well in one of the Ranger wins. I loved watching the Rangers play. And even though the Hurricanes ended up over in the season series, at least, and I've talked to Rod Brindamore as he's looked back at the tape in preparation for the play-in series, you would take the effort and take your chances because the Canes actually played some pretty good games against New York.
Stewie.
Trip, it's good talking to you again. Thanks for coming on.
I'd love to hear your voice, Stewie. I'm thrilled you have found a natural and outstanding home. I miss you. I always am grateful for our time together when you were a Cane, my friend.
Thanks a lot. Quick question here about Kane's injury woes. They have some guys coming back from injuries now, but I'm sure they're most excited about the return of Dougie Hamilton.
Yeah, Dougie, everything that I hear, that they've been, you know, they've been running two groups, Stewie, and Jeff Daniels has been running one, Tim Gleason's been running the other, and I hear that Dougie looks good. As a matter of fact, you know, on the new podcast, I just taped Justin Williams yesterday, and he made mention of how good Dougie looks, and that is huge, huge news for the Hurricanes. And you know, Sammy Vatanen, another righty who hasn't played a game as a Hurricane. And then at some point, if they advance, if they get, I think, one of the most underrated defensemen in the NHL and Brett Pesce back, not only does your right side become, I think, as deep as anybody's, but then the former Ranger, Brady Shea, who didn't complain as a lefty playing the right side, but he's so much better suited, in my opinion, to play his natural side. The Hurricanes, if they're going to go deep, they're going to have as dynamic and as deep of a defense as anybody in the league. And getting Dougie Hamilton back really is going to mean a ton, not only because of his offensive ability, but what really impressed me most before he got hurt is that he played a more competitive physical brand of hockey in his own end and played with a bit of an edge. So all of the offensive attributes, there wasn't any downside to what he was giving up in his own end. That's how good of a year he had.
Berkey.
Trip, the Hurricanes were very active at the deadline. You mentioned Sammy Vatanen, but they made a couple other big pickups, and one is kind of a subplot here with Brady Shea. Tell us about the three guys that came over.
Well, Sammy Vatanen, obviously, it gives you another guy on, you know, on the probably the power play unit that the Dougie won't be on. And depending on Berkey, what kind of minutes he can play, even if he's just a power play specialist, Rod was trying to get him back in the lineup before play was suspended, if nothing else for that. And then you look at Brady Shea, and you know, there are two guys on the team, Berkey. I don't know what your experience, you know, was with guys that never complained as defensemen about playing their offside, but are so clearly better suited to play their natural side. I think there are two on Carolina, and one is Brady, and the other is Joel Edmondson. So, again, getting those righties back, I think puts Brady and Joel in positions to flourish. The X factor is going to be because Brady Shea, no doubt about it, wanted to be a Ranger for his career. what's it going to be like playing against his former team in his first playoff play-in series as a Hurricane. We'll see what happens on that front. And then Vincent Trocheck, you look at Carolina at center ice. They're primarily lefties. They got the rookie Morgan Geeky, who came in and played a couple really good games, and he's a righty before play was suspended. But, you know, Trocheck, if he can find comfort in Carolina, Berkey, it just gives you all sorts of different options. The faceoff circle, having lefties and righties match up on the power play. But there's no doubt for Vincent there was an adjustment period before play was halted. So is he going to be noticeably more comfortable when game one begins against New York?
We're in discussion with Trip Tracy, radio color analyst for the Carolina Hurricanes and host of Digging In with Trip, a new podcast we'll get to in a minute. Trip, is the biggest question surrounding the Hurricanes goaltending? We had that memorable Saturday night in Toronto. James Reimer got injured. Peter Mrazek got injured. David Ayers came in. Since that, and I know we've had a long time has passed since then, but Reimer never came back after that injury, and Mrazek only played one game after that injury. So who would start game one, theoretically, for Carolina in a few weeks?
I would say it's Peter Mrazek's job to lose, David, because of the way that he played against Washington in eventually beating the defending Stanley Cup champions at the time, and then early against the Islanders before he got hurt, McElhinney came in. And Rod has a comfort in him. I know Rod believes that Peter's a gamer, but he, in a short series, it would take no time to go right to James Reimer, who, I'll be very honest, and, you know, Berkey and I have talked about this through the year. As a former goaltender, albeit not a great one, it took me a while to warm up to James Reimer because, you know, he's really I thought he was a blocker, and you don't really see a ton of athleticism. The year that he's had has been excellent. Excellent. I mean, his numbers substantiate that, David. I mean, there was a stretch from mid-November through just before Christmas where he was as good of a goaltender as there's been in the NHL this year. So Reimer really has been a pleasant surprise. But you look at it, I think it starts with Peter, and then a quick switch to James if Mrazek is struggling. You know, you look at New York. I mean, whether it's Igor Shesterkin, whether it's Henrik Lundqvist, whether it's Georgiev, if the Hurricanes find a way to match the goaltending of New York, you know, I absolutely love their chances in the series. The last thing I'll say is, you know, the way the Hurricanes play, oftentimes they don't give up a lot of quantity when it comes to shots, but they give up some solid quality, and that challenges a goaltender mentally to not overthink things, and, you know, when he's not in the flow of the game to make that big save at the big time. It's going to be the most important position probably for any team, but in particular for Carolina, and it's going to require mental toughness, whether it's Peter, James, a combination of both.
Stewie.
Two-part question for you, Trip. Is there any concern of Justin Williams going through a second long layoff? We know he joined the team midseason. And are any of the boys running the rink, the stairs with Rod at PNC Arena?
Well, as far as I know, Rod, in phase two, he hasn't been able to be on the boys, the ice with the boys. I know that. He's been permitted to watch. But the guys have told me he hasn't been around. So if he's been running the lower ball as the two groups have been skating, he's been doing it covertly, and I know he'd be doing it with a weight vest. Justin Williams was, you know, as I said, I just taped a podcast with him, and we talked exactly about him getting up to speed, because when he came back from taking the first half of the year and change off, and we had that shootout winner, the dramatic one, first game back against the Islanders. And then he, you know, his play really sort of fell off. And he said a lot of it, and he's right, is because he wasn't playing minutes that he's accustomed to. And he eventually fought through that, Stewie. And there were probably six or seven games before play got suspended where Justin was playing vintage Williams hockey. He was probably the best player on either team on the ice, shift in, shift out. Really good chemistry with Jordan Staal. He thinks that he's going to be in a much better position this time around because he's not playing catch-up, that everybody is starting on equal footing. So I know he's optimistic that it's not going to take him the time that it did a couple of months ago to find his sea legs.
Yeah, Mr. Game 7 has been everything for Carolina in his career. Berkey.
Just to follow up on Justin Williams, he's valuable just putting on the sweater. It doesn't matter how many minutes he plays. Doesn't matter what role he plays in. He has value, his presence, his leadership. The guy is just solid. I'm not worried much about him. Same with the goaltender question, Tripp, where you have two goalies. You don't have a clear number one and a clear number two. Many teams in the league don't, and many have gone with a platoon system. Do you envision, because I do, do you envision quick hooks? Like you said, quick change if you need to. I think if a team in a best of five, if a team doesn't have a clear number one, he might get more leash or more rope. But I think if you've got two guys neck and neck, you're going to see a timeout on the first bad goal and then a yank on the second bad goal.
Berkey, I agree with you. I would say historically, in his early coaching career, that Rod Brind'Amour, stylistically, does not pull goalies within games. As a matter of fact, thinking about it, last season, he went the entire season without pulling a goalie in his first year coaching in the NHL. So it's not something that comes naturally to him, but I think that that's really crucial for Rod to remind himself of that there's no time to hang around and allow a guy to find his game. The proof will be in the pudding if Rod does it, you know, within a game, say, against the Rangers. I think that he will adjust and have the mindset you're talking about, but I certainly know that if one guy struggles or even if you get a good performance without the result, he will, without question, go from Peter to James or James to Peter with total comfort.
And for Hurricane fans, let's hope that's not the case because, as you said, that could be the big X factor there if the goaltending can hold up against a Ranger team that feels very confident going with their first, second, or even their third option in net. Tripp, thanks for setting up what should be a very interesting qualifying round series between the Canes and Rangers. Before we let you go, give us a little background on your new podcast, Digging In with Tripp.
Well, it's thanks for asking me, David. I have nothing but time on my hands. I'm here with my mom in Michigan. I lost my dad about a year and a half ago, so using this time to dig in with my mom. But the name came from, I usually stop by the coach's office before I do the bench interview at the start of warm-ups, and I've long had a close relationship with Rod Brind'Amour. And I'll go in. They just need to loosen up a little bit before warm-ups. They've already prepped. Jeff Daniels was my captain when I played in the American Hockey League, one of the assistants. Dean Chenault has great personality. So I usually tell a couple of jokes when I swing by the coach's office. Then I say, whoever I'm going to interview, I say to the coaches, I say, boys, don't worry. I'm going to finish the interview by reminding that guy that he better dig in. You know, because every team has guys that, a few of them that play on the perimeter. So the coaches always laugh. And then I go up to the TV booth with Berkey and my mutual friend, my phenomenal partner of 21 years, John Forsland, and we always sit there when we're getting ready for the game on television and radio and you know, joke about, you know, we have a coffee and say, who's going to dig in tonight? So I just elected to start a podcast, and it's been fun. I've done Shane Willis, who was a teammate of mine in the minors, and then Kevin Weeks, Mike Commodore, wore the bathrobe en route to a Stanley Cup. Rod Brind'Amour told a story about rooming with Wayne Gretzky in Nagano after Wayne did not go in the shootout against the Czechs. And now I've done Scotty Bowman and Justin Williams. So it's been a lot of fun for me. And it challenges me because I oftentimes don't recognize that I don't get paid by the word. It challenges me to try to ask questions in as few words as possible.
Well, listen, we love hearing you do your thing, the radio color analyst for the Hurricanes. And, you know, Berkey and everyone, we're all excited to have you on. And you spoke nice and slowly for us non-Ivy League guys, so we appreciate you doing that too, Tripp. Listen, man, congrats on all the success. And we look forward to what should be a very good series between the Canes and the Rangers. And we look forward to hearing this podcast. You've got a pretty good list of guests there, my goodness. Digging In with Tripp, look for it, find it. and I'm sure you'll enjoy. So thanks so much, Trip Tracy.
David, thank you. And just one quick note, speaking of Harvard, it's funny, and I don't know why it worked out this way, but the one class I never attended, I shouldn't say this, European Intellectual, somehow is the one I got my best grade in. Go figure.
There you go. There you go. Trip Tracy nicely setting up the Canes and the Rangers. Thanks so much. We've heard both sides of the ledger, Kenny Albert and Trip Tracy. We're going to take a quick break here on Hockey Central. I'm going to get the predictions from Anthony and Berkey on who they think will win this series ultimately in the qualifying round between these two teams. That's when Hockey Central returns on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Welcome back. Before we say goodbye here on Hockey Central with Anthony Stewart and Brian Burke, I'm David Amber. Predictions, fellas. This would be one of the more compelling series for a number of reasons, at least in my eyes, based on how Carolina did last year in the postseason and based on the fact New York does have one of the greatest players in the game in Artemi Panarin. Start with you, Stewie. Who wins this series, Rangers, Carolina?
When I evaluate this series, I'm probably going to give it a push or a slight edge when it comes to forwards and defense. You know, both teams have some great young forwards, but I think where the edge really stands out, and that's a staple in the playoffs, is really goaltending. And with the New York Rangers, they have two guys. They have Lundqvist, who's beat Carolina this year, but they have, you know, probably the youngest, hottest goalie in the National Hockey League, Igor Shesterkin, that can really step in and steal this series. So I could see Rangers winning this series rather easily just based on goaltending, because that's when goaltending matters the most, and that's the playoffs.
Berkey.
Yeah, I hate predictions, but I'm with Stewie on this one. I think it comes down, these teams are very evenly matched. They've got star power. They've got depth. They both have good D. It's going to come down to goaltending and special teams, and I could see either team winning it, but I would have to go with the Rangers if I had to put a nickel down.
Yeah, we'll make it unanimous. I think the Rangers, I just like the makeup of their team, and I like the superstar quality you have in Panarin. Zibanejad, a 40-goal score. He didn't even play 60 games. So, again, we all hope that's going to happen on August 1st is when the qualifying rounds are supposed to begin, and fingers crossed for that. One thing we can guarantee is Hockey Central will be back noon tomorrow with Jeff Merrick in the big seat. Enjoy your Tuesday. We'll see you guys Wednesday right here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Smith and Jones coming up next. Take care, guys.